All right. Open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know, we talk about some things sometimes that we get. We talk about it in Galatians, you know, where it says you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And then down in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says that if you are Christ and you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, this is what you fell heir to right here. This is when God cut a covenant with Abraham. See, the thing about these ancient people, when they cut covenants, they would make a trough in the ground, and then they'd take these animals and they'd split them down the middle, so all of the goo, all the blood, all the stuff stayed in that trough. You know, they called it a blood covenant. And then they would walk through these pieces in these figure eight patterns. That's a never-ending bond. Everything about it was a never-ending thing. That's how they came up with the rings. A never-ending covenant. It just goes round and round and round and round and round. Never-ending. And that's what these covenants were designed for. A never-ending covenant. So anyway, when they were walking through these pieces, they would pronounce the blessings on each other. They'd say, if you do this, and this is exactly what was said here, said, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God has given you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and ye shall be above only, you shall not be beneath, if you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which he has commanded you this day to observe and to do them, and you shall not go aside from any of these words. The part I want you to focus on is verse 13. Being the head and not the tail. Too many people just settle. One time I told a lady, I said, you know, it is the good that keeps people from the best. They'll settle for just good enough. You don't need to settle. You can expect the best from the Lord your God. He made you the head and not the tail. Now, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't act haughty or arrogantly, but that doesn't mean that you're to be walking around like a mouse in this world. That does not mean that you are a doormat. You know, too much of the church has decided that they need to turn the other cheek, you know, and to the point where they get ran over. That is not right. But here's the thing. To be the head and not the tail, there's some things that are going to have to happen. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Ye must receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to reign in life. This is literally a kingly judicial rule. There's too many people that won't receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. They have a wrong thinking. They think, how can I be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? As messed up as I am. See, when you look at your present reality, instead of looking at your biblical placement, at your spiritual placement, where you've been placed, and what has happened to you when you got born again. If you don't look at the new creation realities and you just look at your present day situation, it'll be hard for you to rule and reign in life. The only way you're going to get to a spot of ruling and reigning in life is by, on purpose, taking your position where you've been seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. The only way you can do that is to get a revelation of what he did for you at that cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. Say, this is my true reality. I'm seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities and powers of might and dominion. All these problems are truly under your feet. It's one of the most horrible things for Christians to say. When somebody asks them, how are you doing? They'll say, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. They've accepted the problems in their life as being something that they've just got to deal with. You do have to deal with them, but here's the thing. Deal with them from victory ground. You know, don't get caught trying to fight for victory. Get in that spot where you already have the victory and you command it to be so. Fight from victory ground. You must receive these two things from him. Some think that God's blessings are based on performance and good works. When you realize that you cannot earn anything from God, that's the best place to be. You just can't. When I first started reading the Bible, I ran into that verse that says that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, more precious than silver and gold. And I thought, and I couldn't quite get it soaked in, but it hit my spirit. And I knew in my spirit that it was because of that my blessings will be there and not earning it. But it's hard to walk through the Christian life, you know, and even especially in Word of Faith circles, to get where you're not earning something. That's kind of crazy to say. Why is the Word of Faith people, why do I say they try to earn something? Because that's just the way you get taught. You do this and you get this. You do this and you get this. And even worse, you don't do this and this happens. This is just not much far removed from anybody else. But here's the thing. One man's offense made us sinners. You know, he just placed us in that state of sin. And just the very fact that you have Adam's blood running through your veins means you have need for a Savior. Amen? But one man's obedience made us righteousness. Made us righteous. Notice that he did not say, when we achieve grace and righteousness, but when you receive grace and righteousness. You know, you can't earn it. You cannot earn grace and favor. You cannot earn righteousness. You receive it. There's nothing that you can do to deserve the blessings. They are based entirely on receiving Jesus. It's a natural, seems to be a natural thing. When we need something, that's what we seek. You know, if we need money, we seek money. You know, and sometimes we'll open the Bible, we'll find money scriptures, and we'll seek that. We'll focus on that. If we need healing, we'll focus on that healing. If we need deliverance, we'll focus on that deliverance. But Jesus wants you to focus on Him. He wants you to go straight to Him and focus on Him. Remember, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we seek Jesus, everything else is going to be there. It's just there. It's all wrapped up in Him. Now, one thing I want you to understand, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one man's offense he perfected forever them that are sanctified. That one sacrifice, and then he sat down, and you were perfected forever. You know, there's nothing left to do. When something is made perfect, there's nothing left to do. So what do? We sit down and we receive what He did on that cross. See, that's the thing about a man. He gets to thinking that if he doesn't earn something, he can't get it. That's the world system. You know, you got to go out there and you got to earn it. But the God system, He's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. You can't earn your blessings. You can only receive them. For some reason, people think that the medicine doesn't sting, it can't be working. I can't, every time I think about this, I think about that monkey blood. I can't remember what that medicine was when we crashed on the playground. We come up to the front door and the teacher come up there and rub some of that sting and nasty red stuff on us. And then we go back and play. Mercurochrome, monkey blood. But it stung like crazy. But God's kingdom is different. All the sting was laid on Jesus. We get all the relief. See, he's already done everything. We have to receive it. The only way you're going to do that is to get in there and find out what he left you and meditate on it. Remember, we found out that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we meditate on that word and get it in our hearts, and then we speak forth what he's already given us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." See, that's where you're seated at right now. You're seated at the right hand of God. You know something? We sit with him and he has made us kings and priests. So what does a king do? A king decrees something. You speak for something. And then as priest, you offer up praises to God. See, that's how we pray. We speak for something by the word of God in the name of Jesus, and then we praise God for the answer. You know, the law was given by Moses. Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, and he gave us the law and set up the Aaronic priesthood. And God found fault with that. Right there should be the first clue for people to stay away from that. The fact that God found fault with the law. But he sent Jesus. John 1:17 tells us that for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Jesus is grace and truth. So when you go to him, you're going to find grace. You're going to find truth. You're going to find righteousness. But it's going to be only in him. For some reason, people can accept the fact that they're born again by grace. They're saved by grace. Saved by grace, saved by faith. And then a lot of times they can say, you know, we're healed by grace. But a lot of times they'll try to earn their healing. They'll try to earn their blessing. They'll try to earn something from God. You're blessed already. Amen? Jesus fulfilled the law 100%. He had to fulfill every jot and tittle. You know, it's a curious thing. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Did you ever wonder what that was? It wasn't his life. That wasn't finished. Said, "It is finished." Literally, the debt had been paid. The debt had been paid in full. Actually, the debt had been overpaid. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What was the handwriting of ordinances that was against us? That's the law. And it just says right here, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Here's the thing. The devil armed himself with the law. Jesus disarmed him with the covenant of grace. But there's still people that fall for that trick. And I can tell you how you can tell if you've fallen into that snare. If you feel remorse, if you feel condemnation, if you feel condemnation about a mistake that you made. It's okay. It's one thing to feel bad for about a little bit and try to make things right. But look, if the next day you start feeling condemnation, you got to do something. You got to get away from that. The Bible tells us, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." So God is not the one condemning you. Jesus is not condemning you. And regardless of what some preachers may say, the Holy Spirit is not condemning you. The devil will come and remind you about your mistake. Here's one of the most irritating things. He'll use other Christians to do that. It drives me nuts when I see other Christians be obedient to the devil to throw a rock at another Christian. Well, how would they do that? Well, somebody makes a mistake, and this other Christian sees it, and they say, you did that, and you go to church, and you sing hallelujah on Sunday. You raise your hands, and you praise God, and you clap. That you did that. What's the Christian doing? He's throwing rocks that the devil gave him. See why that's so irritating? It's crazy. But that's what the devil does. He reminds people of their mistakes. You have to remind him that you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. That's been taken care of. It's been washed away. And you're forgiven. And don't spend another minute in condemnation. Jesus fulfilled completely the righteous requirements of the law. The devil cannot use the law to condemn you every time you fail. The only way he can do that is if you allow him to do that. You have to remind him that you're the head and not the tail. That you've been forgiven by Jesus himself. That the blood of Jesus took care of that mistake. Tell him that stuff. He hates to hear about the blood of Jesus. God gave the law for one purpose, and that is by the law, the world would have knowledge of sin and recognize their need for a Savior. The devil uses the law to keep people beat down. And here's how he does it. So you call yourself a Christian? You are a hypocrite. You know, a self-righteous hypocrite. I heard that before I ever went to church. I heard that long before I ever got born again. I heard that sitting over a glass of whiskey sitting at the bar. All those self-righteous hypocrites. Who do they think they are telling us not to go to the bar? And then they just start blasting all these things that they see these people do and all these other things. And then when I got born again, I ran into that word righteousness. And I thought, I'm staying away from that one. I'm not going near that. You see what happened? The devil made such a nasty word out of one of the most important words that we could ever know. The devil made it seem like such a bad thing that a lot of Christians won't deal with it. A lot of Christians don't want to hear it. A lot of Christians don't want to know about it. A lot of Christians don't want to talk about it. But it's one of the most important things you'll ever understand in the Bible. How God made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Literally puts you in right standing. That whatever was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus, and now you can stand in his presence as if you'd never sinned. That's something that you got to get in your heart. You have to understand that. In your heart, 100%. No matter how bad you blow it, you're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil threw in a few more tricky things just to keep people confused on this matter. And it makes some people feel better for some reason. It's just stupid. Well, you know, Pastor, we're all just sinners saved by grace. No, you're not. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. If you're a sinner, come talk to me so you can get born again. If you're saved by grace, then you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You may not realize it. It may not seem like a true reality to you, but that is the true biblical reality for every born-again person on the face of this earth. Forget about praying. God never listens to your prayers. God will never listen to your prayers. I'm going to tell you something. He was waiting to hear you pray the minute you prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He was tuned in. And he heard it. And he's heard absolutely every prayer that you've ever prayed in your life. You know, you even prayed before you got born again. He heard those too. And now that you're born again, you can expect an answer to your prayers. It's a whole lot easier for him to get answers to you now. Now that you got your spirit turned on the inside, you're alive to God. This one really irritates me, this next thing that the devil uses. Look at your life. You dare step into a church? You know, a friend of mine got invited to a pretty good-sized church one time to preach. Nobody knew him. So he just kind of got all shabby and grungy, and he's sitting kind of fairly close in the middle of people. And they started passing the plate around, and he just started grabbing some ones out of the plate and some cash out of the plate. And he had been around there for a while, you know, and tried to visit with people and all this stuff. Nobody offered him a cup of coffee. Nobody offered him a donut. Nobody offered him anything. Nothing. Really unsociable to him. So the pastor said, now it's time for our guest speaker. And he got up. You should have seen the people's jaws drop. He said, you know something? Not one person offered me a cup of coffee. Not one person offered me any help. You know, one pastor did that. He took on a new congregation, and he went through that whole spiel like that. And he got up for his first sermon, and he said, you know, nobody in here offered me a cup of coffee. Nobody in here wanted to talk to me. Nobody in here offered me anything. Nobody in here even acknowledged me. Go home. Go home, because church is over today. Go home and come back Christianized. Amen. We're going to start over. Here's what you have to decide. Whose side are you on? For some reason, there's we have these earthen vessels, you know, and it's Jesus Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. But as long as we're in these bodies, these earthen vessels, we are attached to the flesh. And that's just a natural thing. We always have to fight the flesh. Paul even said he had to keep under his own flesh. And so imagine if Paul had to do battle with his flesh, we're going to have to do battle with our flesh. So here's the thing, though. We're going to have to make choices to live by love. You know, did you know that there's a lot of hurting Christians running around? There's a lot of hurting Christians in this town. You know, there's Christians that won't darken the doorway of a church because they think church people are out to get them. And there's a reason for that, because church people did get them with the words of their mouth. You mean to tell me that guy's going to go to church here? I just seen a drunkard and a skunk 2 days ago. You mean to tell me that guy that beat his wife for 15 years, now he wants to go to church? You know where people go when they need help? To whoever will receive them. To whoever will receive them. Curious story. Cup of coffee, and people just got all irate, messed up the carpet, did whatever. So he stepped back and left there, went down to the bar, ordered a drink, and he's sitting there and he spilled his drink, and the waitress come up there and cleaned it up, said, "I'm sorry, we'll get you another one. It's okay. Don't worry about it." Are you really the head and not the tail? If you operate by world standards, if the world treats people better than a church, are you really the head and not the tail? Whose side are you really on? See, the thing about people is they need encouraged. They need built up. They need loved on. You know, sometimes people actually think they're unlovable. There's people that think it's absolutely impossible for them to be forgiven. They don't want to go to hell, but they can't seem to find any way out of it. And all it takes is just one person to say just something out of love to get their whole world turned around. You know, there was a guy that I'd see him around, but we weren't in the same circles. I mean, we'd end up in some of the same places, but we just didn't hang out with the same people. But I'd seen him enough to kind of be a little bit familiar with him. And one day I seen him, and he looked pretty down. And God says, "You need to talk to that guy." So I did, okay. I went up there, and I said, "Hey, man, you're forgiven. God loves you." He said, "How could God love me?" I said, "Whoa." He said, "How can I be forgiven?" I said, "What's up with you, man?" He said, "I killed people." I said, "Well, there's got to be something behind the story." And he said, "I was in Beirut. I was a soldier in Beirut, and I killed people." And I said, "Well, here's the deal, man. God, when he wrote his Ten Commandments down on them tablets, he said, 'Thou shalt not murder.' You didn't murder anybody. You killed somebody trying to bring relief and protection and deliverance to somebody else. And God forgives that. You didn't do anything wrong. He loves you." And he looked at me, and you could just see relief come on his face. And it just revolutionized his whole life. He was a completely different person. He actually started going to church where I went to church. He wanted to find out more about that stuff. Then he got married. He wasn't unlovable. He wasn't unforgivable. But it just takes somebody that realizes who they are. When you realize that you're the head and not the tail, that you're seated at the right hand of God, you'll have boldness to go talk to people. You'll have boldness to minister to people. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us every day. You set us free. You've given us the truth. You've taught us the truth. You've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us, helpfully, rightfully divide the word of truth. We praise you for this. We thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, when he made us the true righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.